This is Surfing Through Cinema with Hawaii Harry. I'm your host, Hawaii Harry. Today with my brother Hunter, we're going to discuss one of the most beloved and adored films there is.
For over 80 years, it has captivated audiences all around the globe. That movie is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay, Hunter. So, we're going to talk about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, we just have a couple things we'll go over, like the technical details. So, first thing I put, it was released at Carthay Circle, December 21st, 1937.
Yeah.
And in California Adventure, they recreated that same theater.
Yeah, that theater.
As like a restaurant.
A crappy restaurant.
At yeah, that. It's a crappy restaurant.
Tastes like trash, but it looks great.
Yep.
Which is the opposite for this movie.
Yes.
Well, this movie looks great too.
Yeah.
And it tastes good too.
Yeah, it tastes like an apple.
Oh, tastes good going down. I wonder if she enjoyed the apple. I didn't really like. She bit it. It was like a little sweet, a little too sweet, and then just fell over. I don't know.
I'll have to ask her.
All right. Well, that's not happening, but you know how much money she would charge? No. But, okay, well, I put my first thing, whatever, was this was the first American film to have a soundtrack album released in tandem with it.
Oh,
so
I didn't know that.
Before this movie, there was no reason to have a soundtrack come out with a movie to begin with. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Huh. I didn't know that.
Yes. Thank you, Wikipedia.
For real, though. Tells you everything. All right. Well, the second thing I put is it's the first commercially successful animated film. Mm-hmm. And the way they did it was through cell animation, which is tracing over a drawing on a big, clear piece of paper and painting over it as well.
Right.
Not and then paper. They take a picture and...
It's a plastic cell.
Whatever.
Right. And it's multi-layered, so they'll have a background cell, a foreground cell, and a mid-ground cell. I guess it'd be different order, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And they had this giant machine. I can't remember what it was called, but basically they put different layers that had the different cells on it, so they could put the camera on top, and it would zoom in and give like a focal depth of length type of thing. You could give it more of a perspective type of thing.
Right. And they could photograph all the cells as they moved.
Yeah.
And we saw one.
Yeah.
At that one Walt Disney Museum somewhere in the
yeah,
world. Where
that
was that?
In Northern California.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the museum was called. That was cool. It was big. Filled the whole room.
Yeah.
But, it was like 2 stories tall. Or a story tall.
But like they totally invented that. Like nobody had done anything like that before.
Right.
So I thought that was really cool.
Let me think. Something interesting I saw. Well, actually. Okay, well, it's ranked. In the 80s, somebody was like, hey, man, this movie's pretty cool. And they ranked it in the top 100 American films. Thought that was interesting. I could tell you who it was, but that would have involved actual research, so...
Probably AFI or something like that.
Sure.
Whatever that is.
No, it was Congress. No, I have no idea.
Well, then the last point I put was, so Walt Disney mortgaged his own house to pay for the expenses of the film. Hmm. And if the film flopped, he would have had to go bankrupt again.
He would have been homeless.
He would have been, literally, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he put his house on the line. His whole family told him not to do it.
His career on the line.
Yeah.
His clothes weren't on a line because he didn't have a house.
That's right.
And they probably had dryers by then. I don't know. When did the first dryer, when was that made?
Probably the 50s. I don't know.
Oh, well then. Maybe not. They were still using clotheslines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for being a movie that came out before World War II, I wasn't bored at all. Thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't have any other technical details.
No? Okay. That's okay. We can move into the plot. So, kind of a synopsis. The evil queen orders Snow White to be killed so she can be the fairest of them all. Mm-hmm. Snow White finds refuge amongst the seven dwarves. While they're away, she is visited and tempted by the queen with a apple. And she's like dressed up as a witch or whatever. And the dwarves save her from the queen, and the queen dies by being crushed by a rock. And then Snow White is under the deep sleep, sleep of death spell.
So she's like, she ate the apple.
Yeah, she ate the apple, so she was basically dead.
They didn't save her.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I guess. Okay.
They didn't save her.
Well, okay, they didn't save her. They saved her body, I guess? I don't know.
They couldn't find it in their hearts to bury her.
Because yeah, she was so beautiful in death. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of the plot. Some interesting
and then,
things.
Well, but then the prince is like, yo.
Yeah, the prince comes in.
And then she comes back to life, and then it ends. And you're like, wow. Snow White literally didn't do anything in this movie. She showed up. She, like, did some dishes. And then it ended.
Yes. Well, that was kind of what I was going to get into. Like, she assumes, like, the worst of everybody all the time. Like, she's always, when she gets to the dwarf's house, my, this is super dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why didn't their mother clean it? And she's like, oh, maybe they're orphans. Oh, so, they are orphans.
Right, right. So she goes to the most sad extreme, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to get into the difference between the movie we just watched and the Grimm's, the actual version, the original story. So, real quick, I'll run through that plot. It's honestly very similar. Like, obviously, they didn't steer too far away. After Snow White's mother dies when she's a baby, her father gets married to a new lady. Who's all beautiful and vain and whatever. And she's, you know, she has her magic mirror and wants to know who's the fairest of them all and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her, whatever. Okay, you're hot lady, whatever. But then Snow White gets old enough to be hot all of a sudden, I guess. I wouldn't know what age, they didn't say, but
it was like 15.
Ew. That's anyway. Well, the queen is like, frick, I'm not hot anymore. So she tells her huntsman after finally getting angry enough and vain enough to go kill Snow White and bring back her liver and lungs. And the queen is going to eat the liver and lungs to rejuvenate herself. It's kind of like a body cleanse, but whack as heck. And she'll be like, oh, I'm beautiful again. Whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
But
kind of. Why the lungs and liver?
Bro, Brothers Grimm, don't ask. But
pretty gruesome.
Probably because, I don't know, I feel like they ran out of body parts. If you think about all the stories that they've written and all the ways people have died and stuff, I think at one point they were like, well, what weird crap haven't we done yet? Oh, lungs and livers, that's still on the list? All right. So, whatever. The movie, the huntsman doesn't kill her, tells her to run off. And she does. She finds the dwarf's house, hut thing. But instead of cleaning it up to surprise them or whatever, she just kind of like Goldilocks. She eats their food, drinks their wine, picks the comfiest bed and sleeps. And then when she wakes up, she tells them what happened and they're like, okay, you can stay if you are a maid. And she was like, aye, aye, captain. But then once the witch finds out, hey, this is a boar's heart, lung and liver. I can't eat this crap. I assume she kills the huntsman, didn't really say. But then she's like, this is stupid. So, she concocts a plan to kill Snow White by giving her a beautiful laced bodice. And Snow White's like, all right, I'll put this on. And she puts it on. And she ties it really tight and knocks her out. She passes out. Snow White does. But then the dwarves come at the last minute and loosen the laces, and all of a sudden she can breathe and she's alive, whatever. So she survives, and the queen's like, frick. So she's like, okay, part two, got this comb that's poisoned, I'm gonna give her this pretty poison comb, and when she starts going through her hair, just so happened to, you know, die, well, that's a shame. Puts the poison comb in her hair, dwarves come back and she's like on the ground, whatever, and they take the comb out of her hair and she immediately is revived. So, rip again. Then the witch is like, frick dang, the balls to the wall, we're going to kill her this time. I'm going to give her a poison apple. And so Snow White's like, this poison apple, or she's like worried about it. Because some creepy old ladies are, well, she comes as a farmer, and the farmer is giving her this apple, and she's like, this is weird. The last two times someone offered me anything, I almost died. I'll eat the apple. And so the witch, well, she was smart, this little queen lady, so half of it was poison and half of it wasn't. So she ate the non-poison side and was like, see? And she's like, oh, okay, whatever. I'll just eat this apple that this lady was just munching on. Doesn't bother me at all. She eats it and dies. And you're like, oh, no. And then the dwarves are all depressed, and like the movie, they put her in a glass coffin. But then this prince, 3 days later, you know, jumping around the forest, you know, in his little tight pants, he's like, hey, I heard about this lady in a glass case. Let me take her back to her rightful burial place, because she's the princess. And the dwarves are like, okay, whatever. So they take her. And there's two versions of this next part. So either... in one version, a servant loses his step while they're walking her body in the glass case, and it jostles around, and she spits up a piece of poison apple that was lodged in her throat and comes back to life. Or the guard is angry that this prince is so in love with this dead lady, and he hits her dead body. He, like, punches her, and the apple comes out. So I was like, oh, that's weird. Anyway, so whatever. The apple comes out, and they're all happy. She's alive, and the prince is like, hey, can we get married? She's like, man, this has been the strangest week. Why not? Let's just get married. I'm telling you, this is taking so long. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
No.
So finally, I want to end this. Characteristic of all fairy tales, especially Grimm's fairy tales, the bad guy has to have some nasty, grisly death, because that's just how it is, man. The wolf gets ripped apart from the inside because they jump out of his belly.
I thought he got chopped open.
They kill him with an axe.
Okay, yeah.
But they cut themselves out first. That's the gross part. I'm pretty sure. Unless I wasn't paying attention. Whatever. So for this story, the witch is like, who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror is like, oh, it's the prince's bride. She doesn't know that that's Snow White yet. She's like, oh, well, now I gotta go investigate, whatever. And she goes there and tries to kill the bride when she realizes, oh, freak. It's Snow White again. Gosh dang, this freaking kid won't die. So she tries to kill her, and the prince is like, you whack lady, knock it off. And then makes her put on red hot iron slippers and dance till she dies. And then the story ends.
Wow.
Yeah. So, in the Disney version, when she's dancing with the hot iron slippers.
Yeah. She has her own song when she's dancing with them.
She does?
No.
No. I was like,
in the Disney movie.
Oh, I definitely, you know, you made a joke, and I was like,
what?
Not happening.
Man. Yeah, Brothers Grimm are, oh man.
Pretty grim.
Pretty grisly. But so. Supposedly this was their Walt Disney's kid's favorite story, so that's why he initially did it, so he can give them a movie.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. There was like 8 writers on it.
Yeah.
Like most of them were storyboard artists and a few other people that adapted the story for the silver screen. Mm-hmm. Also, what does silver screen mean?
Couldn't tell you.
I just thought of that anyway. It doesn't matter.
What did you think of... how the dwarves were always like making jokes at each other or like doing funny stuff.
Well, do you want to just move on along? Or, well, yeah, the joke. I don't know what I was thinking just now. Anyway, yes, they were honestly the best part of the movie. Like, I think that's kind of the point, but other than that, like, no one does anything except for the dwarves are there and they're funny and they have character. Everyone else is kind of just like, what's up? Like, I don't know, they don't do anything. Like, her. She doesn't do... Snow White, she's just there. She's just along for the ride. The witch, yeah, okay, she does stuff. The prince...
He shows up at the last minute.
He's just like, hey, what's up? I'm gonna kiss this dead lady, and they're like, yeah, okay, don't mind us. I don't know.
Yeah, we're just mourning over her.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on, go kiss her. Okay, well, we're gonna go on our break real quick. So, yeah.
Surfing Through Cinema is a podcast that premieres weekly on Monday mornings at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. For more information, visit our website at www.anchor.fm/surfingthroughcinema.
Okay, we're back. So now we're going to get into the critical consensus of the film. So back then, when it initially came out, the industry referred to it as Disney's folly, meaning like they were making fun of him for trying to do that because it was super extravagant, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought it was going to totally fail. But then ironically enough, as soon as it came out, they gave him like the biggest praises ever, saying greatest movie of all time.
So like, so the run up, they were like, you suck. And then it came out and they were like, that wasn't me. That was like the other guys. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I was an idiot before.
Right.
Type of thing. Yeah.
Not on my joke game. Sorry.
And so, what's something you found as well with the critical consensus? Did you write anything?
This is the part I didn't do.
That's fine. That's okay.
Well, yeah, I didn't.
You can't pull it out. There's something about,
like, I saw something on the internet that was like, oh, greatest animated film of all time or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was in 2008 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Disney Plus, like, that's the caption of it. It says, this is the film known as the greatest animated film of all time. That's the whole description of it. That's it.
LOL. So, like, to be the greatest, you just have to do it first?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. I'm gonna write that down.
Technically, it's not the first, but it's the first commercially successful
feature animated
film. Technically, they weren't the first, but
we won't. Well, fine then.
Well, fine. So nowadays, it's been inducted in the National Film Archive, saying like, because it's the most important animated film ever.
Culturally and spiritually.
Is whatever the wording like that, is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I read that too. We must have been on the same Wikipedia page. Believe it or not, I think it was. Was it the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs one? Yeah, probably.
No, I went on to Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
And then Wikipedia.
You know, that makes sense.
Yes. Also nowadays, it's been adapted into a musical, a ride, even a couple live-action films from different companies.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember that year?
So, Snow White and the Huntsman?
Uh-huh. And then Mirror, Mirror.
Oh, both of those came out in the so same year. So freaking boring. If you think this movie is boring, don't even try it, Snow White and the Huntsman. Gosh dang it.
And then they made a sequel to that.
I don't even know. How? How do you do that? I don't understand how most modern film even gets sequels. I mean, I kind of feel like that was a 2000s thing, to like have really trashy sequels. Like, now we don't really care enough. But, like, gosh dang it.
I know.
It. So bad.
Yeah, like, and then you got this super, super cheesy Mirror, Mirror with Julia Roberts as the evil queen.
Never even heard of it.
Exactly. It was awful. Because it was trying to be cute.
Yeah, Julia Roberts is awful.
You're awful.
No.
But it was trying to be cutesy, which made it really, really dumb. Like, it had fart jokes. Like, it stooped really, really low.
Right.
Versus this film, it has its funny moments, but it also has its dramatic, sad moments.
Right.
Like, it feels very real, almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like Enchanted. Isn't her, like, princess story Snow White,
basically? Basically. And like, Cinderella.
There's a well, and there's an apple, and a creepy old lady, and the witch who's jealous.
Yeah.
So they did it right. What happened? What went on there?
What's interesting about that one, it's like very, very meta, because it's Disney making movies, making fun of their own other movies.
Enchanted is Disney?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew that. That's funny.
So it's kind of meta. Metal. Make fun of all their princess movies. And another thing, like I said, it's been adapted into a ride at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being, or maybe that was the Pinocchio one, whatever it is in Fantasyland, I remember being terrified of it as a kid.
Yeah, I don't remember it. And we were just at Disneyland on Monday because we did that. And I was like, cool, let's go on Snow White. Because I don't remember it at all. I didn't realize it was under construction. So, but I have nothing to say about it because I don't remember it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Except for something I've noticed about all those rides from that era. So like Mr. Toad's and Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
And Frick Part 2. We just went on it.
Snow White?
No, not even. It's the one right by Snow White. And has...
The boat?
Short queue. Oh, Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah.
They're all freaky as crap. What the heck? And I assume Snow White's the same.
Yeah.
There's no animatronics. Are you...
Some of them have it.
Like Pinocchio? Maybe it's animatronics. I wasn't really paying attention. But I thought it was just like painted stuff. No, yeah, okay, whatever. But they're like sculptures of the characters.
Yeah.
But like the whole time I'm like, what little kid would enjoy this? Like, there's creepy clown crap and like loud noises and it's dark the entire time, and then all of a sudden it's over and everyone's smiling and you're like, what happened? Where was I don't know. I don't know.
Well, that's kinda like in the movie Snow White when she's like running around through the forest.
She's never in real danger. I didn't realize that. When I was younger, that scene scared me. But like, now watching it, that was her imagination the whole time.
Yeah.
Like she was just like tripping on acid. I don't know, but
it turned out to be the little, like, rabbits and birds and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, man. So, critics love it now. Like, I think every 5 years it gets released again on DVD. Like they did the gold collection, the diamond, the platinum, the ultra platinum. I don't know about that, but like they do all these different versions of it every 5 years.
Well, now they don't need to. It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, now it's on Disney Plus. But I think it's because, well, I know it's because although the tale of Snow White is in public domain, that version that Disney's created is copyrighted. Like the designs of the characters and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how they keep the copyright, is by re-releasing it all the time.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't know, though, because, well, if you look at Universal, don't they have to keep, like with The Mummy or with Frankenstein or whatever, they have to keep making new ones to keep the copyright?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can't just re-release it? Or do they have to do both?
I'm not sure. Because in that case, they did, you know, The Mummy in the 30s, and then the 50s, and then... Got the crappy one with Brendan Fraser.
No, those aren't crappy. Take it back.
And then the one with Tom Cruise, which nobody saw.
Didn't watch it.
But I'm pretty sure they do that.
But so those have to be new.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just re-releasing the one from the 30s.
Well.
Or is it different? Because they're keeping the character. Like Frankenstein, for example. That their design of Frankenstein is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. But
I don't know.
They also do merchandising, like the Disney princess costumes or whatever.
Right. But does that doesn't do anything with copyright?
I don't know.
I
took a class on that, but I don't remember too much about it.
That was the boring one. I liked when you watched movies in class.
Yeah, I liked watching movies more than that one.
Right.
But yeah, so
anything else for critical consensus?
Nope.
We're moving on.
So let's talk about our views of it.
All right.
So I'll let you go first.
For going off of last week's, it is nowhere near as boring as Phantom Menace. It's shorter. I enjoy the characters a lot more. It's a lot more fun to look at. I mean, it also has the pretty colors and the flashing lights, just like Phantom Menace. So I think, all right, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
All I could think about the whole time was like, oh, she has all these cute little animals around. Do they, like, smell breadcrumbs or something? Like, what's in her pockets?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that would be funny. Or, like, when she's in her glass casket, you see, like, a little chipmunk. He's, like on the side of it. He's all sad. But then when they open it, he's just there because someone left, like, half a sandwich in her in her dress or whatever.
Maybe nothing they put a garnish on her.
Right. He's like, man, all these pretty flowers in here. It's a shame for them to just, you know, wilt and sit with this, like, rotting body. Like, I don't know, whatever.
That's not morbid.
No, not at all. Here's my view. The vultures were scary.
Yeah, they were.
They were gross, and they, like, went to eat her dead body. That was icky.
Yeah, they ate the... I don't know why they would want that, because she got crushed by a rock. Wouldn't she be, like, all tender? Like...
Yeah, she'd be tender.
Yeah.
I don't see the problem. I'm not a vulture.
I guess we're not vultures.
One thought that I did have was, like, when she transforms into the old lady, when the queen transforms, what if she was, like doing her little, ah, like, witch's cackle, but then she was like, ah, oh, gee, my back, like, dang, this arthritis, like, I don't know. Well, she's, like, trying to give her the apple, but, like, she can't raise her arm enough, because it, like...
Yeah.
Osteoporosis! I don't know. It'd be funny if she, like, took on the traits of an old woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She, like, well, before you eat this apple, can you take a look at this wart on my back? It's been killing me all the way up here. Like, I don't know.
She's got a boil back there. How disgusting.
I only have important remarks this week, so there you go.
Those are your views, huh?
Those are my views. Oh, I liked it. I still think that, I don't know. I mean, if you look at it without the dwarves, it's just boring. But they're also in the title, so, like, I guess the movie is for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved how they all had distinct characters and stuff. And I liked Doc's, like...
Dyslexia.
It's funny. Thought it was good. I enjoyed all the characters. All the dwarf characters.
Mm-hmm. They're definitely the most developed of all the characters. Mm-hmm. Like, they all have very, very distinct personalities.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sleepy was kind of funny. When she's like, you must be Sleepy. He's like, how'd you guess? He's like, yawning.
Yeah.
I wonder why they call him Dopey.
Because they can't say insensitive things.
What do you, like, what?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be... Well, he's, like, mute, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm just assuming he's, like, special needs.
Mm.
And they were like, eh, he's just a little dopey. I don't know, it was the 30s. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I would have called him Baldy.
Baldy?
Because he didn't have a beard.
Or Cutie. I liked how when they ran around, their faces, like, bounced. Mm-hmm. Like, their cheeks had weight. It was cool. Anyway... It's a pretty movie. It's fun to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're bored, which I wasn't. Surprisingly, like, as a casual viewer, I wasn't bored during this movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of goes into my first point. I love the animation and how it flowed very smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it almost didn't seem like a cartoon at all.
Right.
It felt very realistic.
Yeah, especially, like, Snow White's movements. Like, mm-hmm. when they wake her up first. And she's, like, waving her arms around. It's all very smooth and nice. It's really well done. It's well done. It's almost like they're professionals.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the prince, too. Like, he looked very, very realistic. Like, he looked like a real dude.
No. Not really. the way I saw them was, like, they were kind of just drawn as, like, the epitome of, like, sexual desire in the 30s. Like, she looks like Betty Boop, kind of.
She kind of does, yeah.
And I was like... They're just going for what's popular, I guess. So I guess in the 30s, you would have been like, wow, Snow White and that prince, freaking hot. Now when you look at it, you're like, is she 15? Can I go home now?
Yeah. It's really weird to think about, but I think she's supposed to be 15. And then the prince is like 20 or something. I don't know.
Maybe in the original, but I don't know.
Maybe not in this movie, but...
Right.
What did you think of her voice?
I thought it was fine. I don't know. Yeah. The acting was actually really good in this movie. But again, better than Phantom Menace.
Yep.
I don't know. I liked it. Something interesting I didn't get necessarily. Why is there a raven in this one as well? Like, Sleeping Beauty,
mm-hmm.
later on. When did that one come out? That was like 50s?
59 or something like that.
Well, like in Sleeping Beauty, she has like the evil crow raven thing.
Yeah, Maleficent and it, does,
and
yeah.
And this one, the Wicked Queen also has one.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Are they just... That's just the image?
Well, I did a essay on this in school, and the reasoning is Disney was kind of, at that point, kind of running out of ideas. So they did Sleeping Beauty, and then they kind of took elements from all the other princess movies.
Mm.
And so that's why it's very, very similar to
right.
Snow White.
Mm. So it's almost like the Robin Hood sort of thing going on.
The difference, well,
a little
though,
less.
They didn't use the same animation
right.
over and over. Yeah. Mm. But basically the same idea. Here's the thing that's always bothered me in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you know at the mine, how when they're leaving it, Dopey locks it.
And then just hangs the key right by the door.
Right next to the door.
Yeah, I was like, well, that was smart.
How does nobody just walk in there and take all of their diamonds?
Can't trust Dopey with the key, but we can trust that no one's going to notice it just hanging by the lock.
Mm-hmm. That's always kind of bothered me.
Defeats the purpose of the lock. I think that's kind of funny, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they just didn't have doorknobs back then, and you just needed a key to lock it, because you didn't have a doorknob.
I still feel like they should have taken the key with them, though, back to their cottage.
I think it's funny that they're willing to lock the mine, but they're not going to lock their house. The door doesn't have a lock there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just have the most interesting things to say about this movie. There's not enough to make fun of about it. I think that's my problem.
It's really
good. It was actually good, so I can't, like, cheese on it, because it was actually enjoyable.
There is another thing, though, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, the dwarves at first were kind of freaked out that she was in their house, and then almost immediately they, like, start obeying her. Like,
'cause she was hot, dude.
The power of attraction is strong, I guess. It's just funny. She's like, well, you need to go and wash your hands. These guys are like 60 years old. She's like...
But they didn't want to lose their cook. As soon as she said she could make pie, they were like, all right, settled.
Okay. I just thought it was kind of funny.
They wanted that pie, man. Grumpy was a stick in the mud. But once he tasted the pie, I bet he was down. Down to boogie.
Gooseberry pie.
Yes, gooseberry pie.
Another point of mine, this is a good example of the classical Hollywood cinema era. So, meaning like, characters were kind of one-dimensional.
Mm.
There's very obvious good and evil. Very bright, vibrant colors.
Yeah.
Like a lot of movies from that era.
Yeah. Well, and even it probably takes a lot of that because it's a grim fairy tale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those characters are the same. 1800s versus 1930. Boring characters either way.
True. But I just thought it was interesting that that it felt kind of like it was in the 30s, even though it was
mm-hmm.
made supposedly in like the 15th century or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It felt like it was the 30s a little bit.
Yeah.
I
think it's supposed to take place in the 1800s. Besides the king and queen and stuff, but they have like... What is it? That device, the thing that you like pull out of the...
Oh, of the fire, so you don't die when you're cooking your beans.
Oh, true, the cast iron?
That, like, the arm thing, she pulled that out. I was like, isn't that a distinctly 1800s thing? Or was it...
Oh. Or did they use it with the princes and the palaces?
I don't know. I figured you'd just catch on fire instead back then.
Yeah?
No one really cared.
Well, those are my points, but what I can't ignore is the fact that it's inspired a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So reading into it, it inspired The Wizard of Oz, which you could kind of tell is very similar, at least color-wise, style-wise. So even though it was an animated film, like nowadays, people kind of not look down on them, but they don't have as much of an impact as this movie did back then.
Right.
To like Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like filmmakers making live action films based it off of this film. Mm-hmm. Like their sets and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Here's my question for you, Hunter.
Yes.
Do you think it still deserves the title greatest animated film of all time.
I don't know. You seen Gumby before?
Yeah, Gumby.
I don't know. I mean, once you get that title, can you even give another movie that title? I don't know how that works.
And who decides that anyways?
I
don't know.
Well, like, I saw this guy on YouTube the other day. Oh, I can't stop yawning, gosh darn it. This guy made this video and was like, oh, worst movie I've seen of 2020. I was like, well, it's probably the first movie you've seen in 2020.
It's only January.
So when you call it such an old movie, the greatest. And it was like in the 80s when they did that. So like, I mean, I think it still holds, like it should still hold. But I guess you have to ask, like, is it because, like, what are they basing that off of? Because obviously now we have movies that are a lot more technically superior.
Yeah.
But at the time, if you look at it at the time, it was like steps beyond what anyone else was doing versus now, not necessarily. But if another movie were to come out now that pushed technology and pushed filmmaking as far as Snow White did, like, does that movie now get it? I don't know. Like, is that what you have to base it off of when you're giving it a title like that? You have to look at it in that kind of retrospective.
Yeah.
Under those glasses.
Yes. Well, like, Toy Story kind of did the same thing, being the first fully CG animated film. Mm-hmm. And yet, we still call Snow White the best animated film. Mm. So, I don't know.
Well, I guess we have to wait 100 years to find out.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, even with all my quote-unquote issues with it, I still really like this film.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, do you think it deserves to be called the greatest of all time? You seen Claws? No.
Yeah, you seen Claws? It's hard to say because it's hard for me to separate, like, what I personally think is a good film,
mm-hmm.
and what I think would make the greatest animated film of time, and then the fact that I've seen this movie hundreds of times.
You've seen it hundreds of times?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure about that?
Well, I don't know, but I've seen it a lot.
Yeah, finish what you're saying.
But, like, so it's hard for me to decide if I really like it because of nostalgia purposes or because it's actually a really, really good film.
Yeah. Well, then it's part of that lens, then. You have to look at it from the perspective of someone in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if not, then a lot of greats will lose their merit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of boring classics out there.
True. But to kind of answer it, I think it still deserves that title. I think just because of how it impacted animation in general,
mm-hmm.
like, as a result of that, we have Walt Disney Animated Studios, which started, you know, which sparked Pixar, which sparked all these other really good animated companies.
Uh-huh.
So, if you look at it in that sense, I think it deserves that title.
So, but that's why we have to wait 100 years. Because we have to wait for another movie to have the same effect.
True. Hope I'm around then.
120-something.
Yes. Alright. Well, Hunter, any other last-minute thoughts before we end our episode today?
I'm sad I couldn't make fun of this movie as much as the last one. But that's all I got.
Yeah, it really is hard to, like, I was basically nitpicking.
Right.
It wasn't, like, really that detrimental to the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it flows really good.
Yeah, really it has good pacing. Actually, like, you don't lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets through its gags well.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sleeping scene and whatever. The brushing, the cleaning, washing themselves scene, whatever. They all come along at a good pace, and then it ends, and you're like, all right. I can move on with my day.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, as the key most authorities on all movies everywhere, I think it's safe to say this one is good. And we're good.
All right. Well, thank you, Hunter, for being on the show today. And thanks to everybody for listening. Next time, I'll be discussing about cinema and its beginnings in the early 1890s up until the 1920s. But until next time, this has been Surfing Through Cinema with Hawaii Harry. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Surfing Through Cinema. Make sure to check us out on Facebook at Surfing Through Cinema with Hawaii Harry and on Instagram with Surfing Through Cinema. We also have a website, www.anchor.fm/surfingthroughcinema, where you can learn more details on upcoming episodes and on past episodes.